be to thee, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And he said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Regrets. You all have had the regrets that you have faced in life. Some of them are little. Some of them are big. Some of them might be rather insignificant to others, but constantly daunt you. And then there are probably those whole sin-filled pile of regrets that you probably have. Think about those sinful regrets for a moment. What did you do to someone that really hurt them, either physically or mentally? Think about how you neglected somebody. How maybe you should have been there when you weren't. Think about the regrets that you had with the opportunities or the chances to do the right thing, and instead you were consumed with your own selfishness, your own ways, what you thought was right. Regrets. We could spend hours and hours just with me today up here about my own sin-filled regrets, and probably many more hours, if not days, letting all of us here speak about our own sin-filled regrets that we have. And maybe with these regrets, they are the things that you have asked for forgiveness for. Maybe you've begged those people who you have hurt for their forgiveness. Maybe you have found yourself tearfully begging God in your prayers for forgiveness. Maybe you have even found yourself trying to work out some sort of deal with the person you've offended. I'm sorry for what I did. How can I repay you? How can I possibly make it up to you? At times, we've all felt the idea that we are not worthy of being released from the guilt and the shame of our own regrets and our own sins. We even feel like at times that we're not worthy of the forgiveness that God gives. And maybe even worse, maybe we've withheld that forgiveness from those who have begged you for it. Maybe you are so ashamed of these regrets that you feel like you don't belong in a place like this, the church. Because you know, all of us in here, well, we're clean, pious, God-fearing people, right? We read our Bibles and pray regularly, and we certainly have no regrets in our lives. Certainly the man in the purple cape up here doesn't have any regrets. So I'm going to stay away from that place because those people don't have the major sins that they are dealing with, those major regrets. Maybe we even try to find a way out with our own repentance to the Lord. But make no mistake, when we come and confess our sins and our regrets, our shame and our guilt, we don't come and do this as some sort of pious and holy act. We don't confess our sins even because we have faith and trust in God. We confess our sins, our shame-filled regrets, because you have a Father who is a forgiver, one who provides forgiveness and mercy and love. He knows your regrets. He knows what you have done and left undone. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways, says Scripture. And so if you are in your sins and your regrets, if you have that nagging thing that you have confessed to God or to one another, and the devil just will not let you go, take heart. You have a Father who forgives through His Son. Jesus tells of the prodigal son, which really should just be called of the parable of the two sons. He tells this parable alongside the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin to remind us of what kind of heavenly Father we have. One who seeks us out no matter how far we have strayed, no matter how far we have lived apart from Him. All that you have in this life, all that you have been given in body and in soul has been given to you by your Heavenly Father. You have received everything from His hand. And yes, just like the younger son, we have squandered it. We have wasted our relationships, we have abused what God has given us physically and mentally, and we have found ourselves many times like the younger son, sitting in the messes that we have made of our lives, full of regrets, searching for some sort of answer, searching for some sort of direction, looking for a way out of all of the mess, all of the muck and the mire, all of the loneliness, all of the guilt. And you have it here today with the love and the forgiveness of our Father in heaven. Not because of our faithfulness or our works or how good and pious we are here and today in the church. The younger son couldn't lose it or earn it. He couldn't buy back his forgiveness from his father by what he did. And then there is the older son who couldn't lose it or keep it by what he did. This parable shows us exactly what the Father has given to us, everything in body and in soul, And yet he rejoices immensely when we return to him. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. His love, his gift of grace is for you at all times. And so maybe you're like the younger son who has misused your life and the gifts that you've been given. Or maybe you're like the older son who was outwardly faithful to the father, yet in his heart lived with a lot of anger and resentment and pride. It makes no difference. We've all been in one situation or another. Wherever you have been and whoever you are and now, know this, that you have a Father who forgives. And not only that, he prepares an immense feast and celebration and party for you and for me. These parables, I wish we in our lectionary would read all of these parables back to back, because they show the insane nature of God's grace towards us. They make no sense. No one would leave 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep. No one would turn their house completely over with all of their furniture and belongings to find a penny, and then to have an immense party in celebration that the penny was found that cost far more than what the penny was even worth. And in many of us, when we have strayed, when we have fallen away from our Father's grace and His mercy, when we see others who have done this, we put standards up. We put standards up for maybe how God is going to respond or react to us, what it is that we must do in order to get back into His good grace, or at times we put standards up for others in terms of how much repentance they may have. But know this, whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever you have regrets with, there is a feast waiting for you. And not just any feast, but the best of the best. The fattened calf was not something you would just go and kill because you felt like having steaks or veal that night. This was a special occasion, something that trumped everything else beyond compare with celebration. And now you and I here today come into this place full of regrets, full of shame, full of sin, full of doubts and fears over what you have done and left undone and what I have done and left undone. And we at times are wondering, maybe even begging one another for forgiveness, and even more so with God. Begging and looking to somehow be forgiven. And he seats us down here to his feast. And there is no greater feast that could be given to you than the body and blood of his dear son, here for you. No better feast could be prepared for you than this. This forgiveness feast, this life feast, this feast that points us to the eternal life that is to come in the Father's house. This feast that points to the Son that laid down his life for us sinners, so that we sinners could be declared from the highest of heavens to the lowest of the earth, that we are now children of the Heavenly Father, heirs of eternal life and salvation. This man, this Jesus, true God and true man, wishes, yes, to sit down and eat with us sinners. And he would rather be nowhere else than with you, in your shame, in your regrets, and in your sins. Not to point out what you have done or left undone, not to point out how bad you have been or how impious you have been, but to take your sins upon himself so that he who knew no sin could take your sin and be that sin and that punishment. He who knew no sin, no shame, no regrets, became all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your regrets for you. And he took those things to the cross. He suffered. He went to hell and back and stepped out of the tomb to show you the Father's amazing love for you, to squash all of your sins, all of your doubts, and yes, all of your regrets. And even more so, in all of that, he prepares this feast for you. Your Father wants you back. Your Father is here, always ready and waiting for you. He is waiting and willing and always ready to bowl you over with his immense and joyous love. All so that we, prodigal sons and daughters, might be welcomed back as forgiven sons and daughters, so that he may be prodigal with us in his love, reckless with his love, overflowing with his love. And it's given to you this day. That love is why the younger son returned, beat up, chewed up, and spit out by the world, by his own sins, by his own shame, his own regrets. He returns with his tail between his legs, full of regrets, returning, though, to the Father's arms, not to punishment, not to servitude, but giving the robe of righteousness to his son, the ring and shoes on his finger, clothing him in his righteousness and his love, and feeding him. Prodigal love, lavish love, a greater love than we could ever imagine or expect or even hope for. And it's all yours today. The Father wants you to return, returning each week, confessing our sins. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son or your daughter. And he picks you up. He takes you back to your baptism where he clothed you. He gives you that ring of faithfulness. He gives you something for your feet in his mercy. And he has you sit down to his table this day so that he may feed you with himself. Always reminding you that in your regrets, in your shame, in your sin, in the lies that the devil constantly spills into your ears, he's constantly overcoming the assaults of the devil with those words, "I forgive you. I forgive you, for you know not what you have done, and I will always forgive you and love you. I forgive you all of your sins. Now come to the feast." And as Isaiah tells us as well, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing for you this day." Forget the sins of the past. Don't be filled with the regrets and the shame, for they have all been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, all so that the Father may throw a feast for you, all so that Jesus may welcome sinners into his presence and to speak words of comfort and forgiveness and love, and to dine with you, his brothers, his sisters, and to remind you, more importantly, that there is no regret or shame in what he has done. He is happy. He is joyful that you are here. You are home here in the Father's house. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise for the offertory.